Matthew chapter 21. The message today is disobedience and the command to repentance. Lord willing, I'll just read a few verses to you. There are ever so many that I could read and would want to read to you, but I'll read you enough to let you understand about disobedience and the command to repentance, starting in Matthew 21, verse 28. But what think ye? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented himself and went. Now, Acts chapter 17. Verse 29. I want you to understand that all men are sons of God by creation. Few are God's sons by regeneration. But notice what the scripture teaches in verse 29. Being therefore the offspring of God. So God is our maker, our creator. He is our father in the sense that he brought us into being out of the dust of the earth. Being therefore the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and device of man. The times of ignorance, therefore, God winked at, he overlooked. But now he commanded men that they should all everywhere repent, inasmuch as he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Please notice, in this verse, verse 30, it says, Now God commandeth all men everywhere that they should repent. Now chapter 20, these verses are most important because when people tell you the way of salvation, you make sure that it comes from the Word of God. All that I've read to you is from the Word of God. So look in chapter 20. This is Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders, and he says in verse 20, How I shrank not from declaring unto you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Gentiles. Here are the nations, only two nations, God knows, Jews and Gentiles, whether they're Greeks, barbarians, it makes no difference what they are. They're simply Jews and Gentiles, and it says again, listen carefully, Paul said, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks, repentance toward God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice those two words, repentance and faith. In chapter 26, Paul is on the road to Damascus, and a vision comes to him from heaven. And in verse 15, when the Savior is spoken to him, he says, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for to this end have I appeared unto thee, to appoint thee a minister and a witness both of the things wherein thou hast seen me, and of the things wherein I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. That's all that we will read Let us speak to God again in prayer. Father, we are thankful for all the things that you teach us from the scriptures. Let us know that in spite of the fact that you have plainly had written before our eyes what is right and what is wrong, the way to heaven and the way to hell, men still will not see. We pray that by thy Spirit working in our hearts, we shall understand this day, that we shall take the scriptures in their simplicity, in their plainness, in their truth, and embrace them, our God, because thou dost know the need of our souls. We thank you for all who are here. Give them a blessing, Father, for being here, and let their coming not be in vain. Work upon their hearts. May they come to Christ, or may they become more like Christ. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as you have promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I taught you last week about the subject of obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then we have servants, obey your masters in all things, for this is well pleasing. Last week it was obedience, and this week it is disobedience. Because as you look in scripture, you'll find more disobedience than you find obedience. Disobedience began in heaven, it came to earth, and it spread throughout all mankind, and it's present until today, and it will never end until God comes back and establishes a new order of things. You would think that it would be difficult for angels to sin, having never known anything but light and truth and the glory of God. But what happened is that they looked at the glory of God, and they looked at their glory, and they said, we want to be as glorious as God. I will be like the Most High God. And when they sinned, they were cast down. And having been cast down, Satan, the leader, came to our parents and tempted them, the disobedient, and therefore disobedience fell from heaven to earth and corrupted man, and Adam and his race has continued in disobedience unto this day. And so for that reason, God does not have a variety of messages to his creatures, but he has only one message, and that's this. Repent. That's why I read you in Acts 17, and I want you to remember the exact words of scripture. It said, God commanded all men everywhere to repent. Now think of this. Paul has just said, we are his offspring, but inasmuch as he commands his offspring to repent, there is something wrong. That is sin. Because sin corrupts and defiles and separates from God, and man remains separated from God until repentance takes place in his heart. And life is just that simple. We look at children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Yes, children should obey their parents in the Lord. Slaves, obey your masters in the Lord. Yes, slaves should obey their masters. Sinners, obey the command of God. Well, I do not know about that. But you must. Notice that salvation is illustrated in the scriptures in various ways. And in Matthew chapter 21, salvation is a command from God to his Son, and I've shown you already that we're all sons of God by creation, and then we become sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But every fallen creature is a son of God by creation. There is no man who is here of himself. It is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. And therefore, when God says to his son, Son, go work today in my vineyard, this is a command from God. And I told you last week that there has never been a time when man has not been under the command of obedience. Some things he's commanded to do, and some things he's commanded not to do. When man was first placed upon earth, God gave him a command. Do not partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So here is the command of God. Do not partake of that tree. And man took of it. And here are other commands that God gives. Son, go work today in my vineyard. And this son would not. I'm so glad that the expression from the lips of that son were so plain and so definite. If the father says to a son, go work today, and the son says, well, I might. I remember just a few weeks ago, there's a little boy about 6 years old, and when I see him, I say to him, Lucas, are you going to give me a hug? And he said, maybe. If I have a reward for him, a candy or something, he maybe will give me a hug. But in this instance, when the father said, Son, go work today in my vineyard, there was no equivocation. He said, I will not. And I thank God for that. Because you know exactly where that son stands. Here is a command of God, and there is defiance and absolute disobedience. You told me to go work. I'm not going to work in the garden. All right. You say, well, that's an exception. Listen, I'm going to show you that it's not an exception. It's the rule. The son says, I will not. And the Savior says in Luke, and he says in Matthew, and he says in John 3 times these things. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. So here is Christ telling the condition of the heart. He said, you would not. In John chapter 5, the Savior says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me, and you will not come unto me, that you may have life. Now, is that clear enough? Here is Christ, and he says, I have life. You will not come to me, that you may have life. Here is his son that is told by the Father, go work in the vineyard. And he says, I will not. And here is Christ, who has invited all the Jews to be saved. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And he said, you will not. Now, what happens is that this is not the exception, but the rule. Because in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen is preaching at the end of his message, he's only permitted to go this far. He says to those to whom he's preaching, and he was not anyone that preaches to please men. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ear. You do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. And so, when they heard that, they said, we're not taking any more. And they picked up stones and stoned him. And so that was plain enough answer. He said, you resist the work of the Holy Spirit in your hearts, as your fathers did, so do you. Now, so here are all the fathers among the children of Israel, and they resist the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And now, here is Stephen among the people of God in his day, and they resist the working of the Spirit of God. And here are you, saved or unsaved, and you still resist the Spirit of God telling you what to do. Because man wants to be independent. He wants to do what he wants to do, But God says, you are a creature. You must do what I want you to do. But man refuses. And God illustrates salvation by a simple act of obedience. Do you realize that? You would think that the two sons in Matthew 21 were already children of God spiritually, but they are not. Because when the Lord Jesus explains that parable, he says, and you, when you saw the publicans and the harlots repent and go into the kingdom of God, you would not believe that you might go into the kingdom of God. And so he tells us that obedience to a command of God is a picture of salvation, because you are his creature and he tells you, go work today in the vineyard. But instead, just as in the other parable that he spoke, when the invitation was given, it said one went to his farm, one went to his merchandise, and another one said, I've married a wife. When it comes to that wedding feast, I can't come to the wedding feast. They all had things to tell God to excuse themselves from obeying that command. But why I rejoice in the scripture that I've given you, I will not, is that it is so definite. What happens is this. When a command comes from God to do something or to refrain from doing something, sometimes there is no equivocation. No. But at other times, it's like Felix when he was speaking to, was being spoken to by the Apostle Paul. He reasoned to him of self-control, of righteousness and judgment. And it said that as Paul preached to him, he was terrified, because the Spirit of God drove home to his heart that if he did not repent, there was the judgment of God to come. And he was terrified. But he said to Paul, he said, come again at a more convenient season and I will listen to you. You see, this time I will not, but come again at a more convenient season. And read through the book of Acts and the entire Word of God, and you never find that that convenient season ever occurred. And this is what it says in the book of Hebrews. Speaking of God's salvation, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And so here are some, when they are told of God's salvation, I will not have that salvation. And here are others that say, well, come again, have a more convenient season. And others simply neglect, well, not now, I have other things to do, but I fully intend in a coming day to take God's salvation that he's offered unto man. What happens is this. If you neglect God's salvation, it turns out that you never get around to accepting God's salvation. Because today is the day of salvation. And man who thinks that when he chooses, he may take God's salvation. But what you find is this, that the only time that man can be saved is when God makes advances to him, when the Spirit of God works upon his heart and draws him to the Lord Jesus. Notice, I told you from Acts chapter 7, when Stephen is preaching, he said, you uncircumcised in heart and ear, he said, you stiff-necked, rebellious sinners, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. I see. So the resistance comes when the Holy Spirit is at work in the heart. There is no resistance when the Holy Spirit is not at work in the heart, because there will never be any inclination of man to go to God. It says, there is none that doeth good. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. It is not in the heart of man to seek after God. You see, when that sheep was lost, it wasn't the sheep that went looking for the shepherd. It said the shepherd went looking for the sheep. And when man in the first instance was lost, he went and hid himself in the garden. And it was not he who came out of the garden looking for God, saying, God, where are you? But it was God who went into the garden seeking man and said, Adam, where art thou? And he found man hiding in the garden. and he finds Felix saying, come again at a more convenient season. And he finds that the son, that he said, son, go work today in my garden, saying to him, I will not. And so it says this, that as foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, it says that disobedience, rejection of God, putting off the trusting Jesus Christ the Savior, it's in the heart of every man. And the only time it shall ever change is when the Spirit of God works upon that man and he says, I will. Please notice that salvation exists in the form of two things. It consists of two things, repentance and faith. I'm going to tell you of all the instances that are necessary for you to understand that these two requirements are essential for salvation. Because there are some who say there is no such thing as repentance. It is necessary to repent to be saved. And some say, oh yes, repentance is what is preached to the Jews, but it is not preached unto the Gentiles. This is what you will find. That when John the Baptist came preaching, he preached the baptism of repentance. You say, well, that was John the Baptist to the Jews. When John the Baptist was put into prison, it said the Lord Jesus came and he preached, repent and believe the gospel. You say, all right, he's still preaching to the Jews. Well, let me ask you this. When the apostle Paul comes along and he says, I preach to both Jews and Greeks and Gentiles, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Paul preach? You say, why, he preached repentance. Well, if John the Baptist, if the Lord Jesus, if Peter, and Peter did in Acts 2 and 3, when he was preaching, he said, repent. And when the Apostle Paul preached, he said, I preach to Jew and Gentile, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is there in the Bible that does not preach repentance and faith? You say, show me anywhere in the Gospel of John or in his epistles that repentance is ever mentioned. And I would answer you, it's impossible to find it because it does not occur there. Why? For the simple reason that at times repentance includes faith, and at times faith includes repentance. May I ask you a question? If your mind is in one direction and it has to turn in another direction, how can it ever, without repentance, because repentance is a change of mind, how can it turn from this direction to another direction without first repenting? You say it can't. Until there is repentance, the mind is in one direction. The word methanoeo, it is an afterthought. You think that idols and gods and sin, this is the way of life. And until you learn that there is the living and true God and Jesus Christ the Savior, until you turn from these to God's truth and light, there will never be any salvation. And whenever you do turn, then you've repented. And whenever a man who has believed in false gods and sin, when he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, of necessity, he has already repented. And so when John says that we are to believe, it includes that repentance has taken place first. Why? Because we turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God. And when you turn to God from idols, then you've repented. Now, you repent, repentance toward God, and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, think for a moment. If you have to repent to be saved, then there's something wrong with you. Your thinking is wrong. The way of life is wrong. The direction in which you're going is wrong, and you have to repent. Because there is a way that leadeth unto destruction. It says this, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seemeth right, And as long as you are seeming that way for salvation, you haven't repented. But when you do see God's way, you repent and you say, Christ is the Savior. And once you repented and said, Christ is the Savior, you see that He is the way, the truth, and the life, then you place your faith in Him and you're saved. And it says this, that many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So what is salvation? It is an act of obedience at the command of God. It says that God commanded men everywhere that they should repent. And if God gives a command and says, you are wrong, you need to repent. And when you do repent, you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, because God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to repent because judgment is coming. And there is a way of escape, and that way of escape is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you repent from your sins, but that's not salvation. Having repented from sin, you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is salvation. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you why my heart rejoices, and I'm so thankful to God for what I read to you in Matthew chapter 21. When the father came to that son, his son by creation, and he said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He said, I will not. That sounds final, doesn't it? But thank God for this. It said, but afterward he repented and went. That is the hope, and that is what thrills my heart, that a man, having blasphemously said to God, when God says, repent and be saved, and he says to God in his face, I will not, that God allows him at a later date to change his mind and to obey the command of God. Think now. Tell me one angel that ever sinned that was invited by God to repent and be saved. You'll never find one. God never gave an invitation to angels who sin to be saved. But when man sins and rejects God, seemingly with finality, there is yet an opportunity for him to change his mind. Because at first, when the gospel came to me, I was about 12 years old, but at that time, I did not grasp, I did not understand. Later in my teens, there was more of a definite rejection of God. But finally, when I understood the necessity of repentance from sin and faith in Jesus Christ, even though in the past I had said, in one way or another, I will not obey you, I changed my mind and I trusted Christ as Savior. Suppose only one opportunity were given a man to be saved. How many of you would be saved? The first time God ever spoke to you, you said, yes, Lord, I'll be saved. I don't know of one man who's ever been saved that way. The Apostle Paul was persecuting the church, and God tolerated him all those days when he was an enemy of Jesus Christ. But this is the miracle, and people saw that miracle in Paul. When they were describing him, they said, we don't know about this man. The only thing we know is this, that he who once persecuted us now preacheth the faith. And Paul said, they glorified God in me. So here are those that reject, that persecute, that say, I will not. But God continues to work upon their hearts. And finally, some of them say yes. Let me tell you the description that God gives of those who adamantly and permanently refuse. He says, sons of disobedience. That means they are characterized by disobedience, and there will never be a change, because all of us at one time are disobedient. You all at one time disobedient, filled with hatred. you despise God. We all at one time were disobedient, but when you are hardened and become permanent in that rejection of God, you are called a son of disobedience. Disobedience is that which is characteristic of you thoroughly. And it says this, these sins that I am enumerating, fornication, lust, covetousness, blasphemy, all of these sins, it says, for which things sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. And so disobedience is what characterizes us all, but today we can repent. But what I'm afraid of, and what is that which fills the heart with fear for those that you love, is that they will say with Felix, not today, come again at a more convenient season. Or they will neglect so great salvation, and then God ceases to work upon the heart. Because do you realize that God ceases to work upon the heart? That God gives some men one chance, 5 chances, 100 chances. But the time comes when God ceases to work upon the heart. And when that happens, then all is over. All is hopeless. This is what the Savior says. He speaks to his own people because he's the light of the world. And he says to them, yet a little while is the light among you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness overtake you not. He that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. He said, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. And then he left them. What will happen to you when God has illumined you, when God has drawn you, and you have the light for a little while, and then the light is taken away? Where will you walk then? The Lord Jesus says, you will walk in darkness. The only time that man who is born in darkness, who is born blind, who is born alienated from God, it says, they go astray as soon as they be born speaking lies. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. But then God in his grace, unlike his dealing with angels, God illumines, God makes overtures, God gives sweet influences to the heart of man, God gives light. And when God gives that light, if man will walk in the light, he will understand about himself, the sinner, and about Christ, the Savior of sinners, and he will say yes. He will never understand or be inclined toward God unless that light is shining. And then the Savior said, yet a little while is the light among you. Walk while you have the light, because if you do not walk while you have the light, darkness will overtake you, and he that walketh in the darkness does not know where he is going. So here is the wisest man on earth, and the light is taken away. He does not know where he's going. He does not know how to get to God. And yet, what could be more simple than this? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What could be more simple than that? And yet, the wisest man on earth cannot grasp God's way of salvation unless the Spirit convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment, unless the light shines upon him, and then he can. But if he permanently refuses, if, as in Acts chapter 7, they stiffen the neck, they close the ear, they close the heart and harden it, then that's the end of the matter. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 2. It speaks about God. It says, God, in his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, works upon man in his sins. It says, but you despise the goodness and forbearance and long-suffering of God, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. But you, after your hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath. And so, that God works upon the heart of a man, it does not mean that it's always successful upon the heart of a man. That Christ shines does not mean that man always walks in that light, but man hardens his heart. And when that happens, it says, he treasures up for himself wrath in the day of wrath. He becomes a son of disobedience, And the result is that the wrath of God comes upon him. He would not have the mercy of God. So, he must bear the wrath of God. But I rejoice that when this son said, I will not come, that he did come. Afterward, he repented himself. I rejoice that Paul, who persecuted the church, when he learned for certain from heaven who Jesus was, Jesus had said, why persecutest thou me? And Paul said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And he says, what would you have me to do, Lord? And the Lord said, this is what I would have you to do. And Paul, the persecutor, said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Thank God that that son who said, I will not. Thank God that Paul, who was the persecutor of the church, was able to say, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And this is what God is seeking to draw from us. Now, notice the different reaction of them. Here is Abraham with his father and his ancestors. They were idolaters beyond the river. And yet God said in Genesis 12 to Abraham, he said, I want you to leave your kindred, your family, your home, and I want you to go where I tell you to go. And it said, Abraham obeyed. Thank God for that. And so here you are. You are dead in trespasses and in sins. You are in the world, and you are of the world. The world is in your heart. And God says, I want you to come out of the world. I want you to be mine. And thank God, as Abraham obeyed, you can obey. And when you do, the Lord Jesus says that you pass from death unto life. It says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And you're in darkness, but if you walk in the light when Christ gives the light, the end of it is salvation. And at the same time, if God gives a command to go work in my vineyard, not spend your time and energy in the world, living for the world, and doing the work of Satan in the world, if you will go work today in God's vineyard, if you will obey, then salvation will be the result. So God commands all men everywhere to repent. What are you going to do? Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, forgive us for being so long in rebellion against thee. Our Father, receive our thanks that even though we are what we are, and we act the way we do, yet your goodness and forbearance and long-suffering pursue us throughout our lives until that time when we refuse the light, and then we walk in darkness and know not whither we go. We are thankful for your great goodness and mercy and long-suffering, our God, and we pray that your overtures and your sweet influences upon us shall not be in vain. Father, to a greater or lesser degree, we have all said when you've spoken to us, I will not, but we are thankful that we can repent and we can do the will of God. So let us be like Abraham and obey, and let us be like that son and obey, and let us be like Saul of Tarsus and obey, and let heaven be our reward. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.